Welcome to all you followers of Christ, who the word of the Lord is meaningful and brings you great joy as you come to first comprehend and then appreciate it. You're now listening to the 44th message of the audio teaching sermon series. Hey friends, Pastor Jefferson here, where I assure you the pleasure is all mine to be able to speak to you today. In the last lesson, we were discussing third prophecy of the parable of the fig tree, which I entitled The Imminent, where we discussed the first sign Jesus warned us about. Recall that in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 5, Jesus began answering the first question, "When will these things happen?" when he says, "For many will come in my name, saying that I am the Christ, and they will mislead many." We showed that he was speaking of those who would come in the name of Jesus, affirming that he is indeed the Christ, but they would still result in misleading many. As I have demonstrated many times, it is happening now, and the yeast of the Pharisees has spread all throughout the modern-day church. They use the Bible, but they twist and pervert its words. The next sign Jesus gives us is found in the very next verse, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 6. Jesus says, "You will then begin to hear of wars and rumors of wars. Behold, but be not alarmed, for it is necessary for this to take place, but not yet is the end." Let me just tell you that in this verse, Jesus is not speaking about any old wars. Humanity has literally had wars over the whole course of its history. In fact, just since 1946, the end of World War II, there have been 285 distinct armed conflicts, a number which doesn't include the more recent wars in Israel and Iran, for instance. In fact, the birth of the fig tree came out of the biggest war of all time, World War II. After its conclusion, there have been countless instances of hostilities raging all across the planet. So Jesus here cannot be talking about just the run-of-the-mill armed conflict. What we see today is referred to as modern war, which is defined as conflicts with increased focus on technology. These wars, referred to as fourth-generation warfare, are increasingly reliant on tracking systems and drones, with mounting use of AI-controlled vehicles, with far less emphasis on the traditional definition of boots on the ground. These conflicts are complex, long-term, and decentralized. They blur the line between combat military strategy versus civil policy. As I studied to break down this particular verse, I began with the thought that it would be a simple task. But I struggled mightily to hear what the Lord was trying to tell me. As usual, I went and looked up all the relevant words in the original languages. I then read and studied all the cross-references in an attempt to reach a conclusion with the help of the Holy Spirit. But I still experienced real difficulty seeing what Jesus wanted me to know. The reason is, I had to undergo a lot of reverse learning, where I had to unlearn what I had previously been taught in error. Growing up in the faith, I was told that the number of wars and subsequent rumors of wars would greatly increase, like with what Daniel spoke regarding the increase in knowledge and travel, as we discussed in the last lesson. Here's where the skeptics rip us apart over our errant beliefs. There has been zero increase in the rate of warfare. It has more or less remained rock steady since the creation of the nation of Israel. False information is easily defeated by cynics and skeptics, and that is why we need to ensure we're not ever found guilty of speaking it. Once more, the solution to my dilemma lies in the definition of the words within the original languages. Look now at thought one. The Greek word we see for "you will begin" is melesete. This word is used just this one time, and so its definition is unique. It means to be at or near to the point of experiencing or suffering something. The verb conveys the nearness, intention, or certainty regarding a forthcoming act or series of actions. Thus, we can affirm that Jesus is discussing the approaching consummation of history by the sudden appearance of the prophesied sign. So, what will we all be experiencing or suffering from at that time? The topical info stated in Thoughts 2 and 3 says, to hear of wars and rumors of wars. Look now at the word for to hear of in Thought 2. It is akuain and means to come to the ears, to be reported, or to give audience to. Today we would say to have something reported, as on a newscast. The root of this Greek word is where we get the modern word acoustics. Just like most folks, I receive regular news and get headline updates on my cell phone. But the news Jesus is talking about will be reported orally. I expect that we will all be glued to live broadcasts listening to this soon coming terribly bad news. The other word we see in Thought 2 is wars. The Greek word used here is polemos, which means fighting, warfare, or battle. It can also mean having a dispute, to suffer strife, or even to quarrel. We see a similar word used for wars in Thought 3. It is polemon. So what is it that is different about these two words Jesus used here for wars? Man has experienced wars for all of his recorded history. And, as I just said, there have been very many wars since the creation of the modern state of Israel, continuing right up until now. In fact, since Israel declared her independence, there have been something on the order of between 30 and 50 wars being waged at any given time. But these two words for wars, which Jesus uses, are recorded in only 3 verses in Scripture, and in each case, the writers are each reporting on this very same phrase. So this warning that Christ is giving to his disciples must be unique, despite all the wars being waged all over the world. We discover more information in Thought 3. Notice the word rumors. In the Greek, it is akoas and translates to infamy, speculations, or hearsay. The word infamy means evil reputation brought about by something grossly criminal, shocking, or brutal. The nature of this soon coming information that we will be hearing regarding these wars will indeed be shocking, brutal, and possibly even criminal. I want you to notice that this word for rumors shares the same root as the Greek word for to hear of, as we just spoke about in Thought 2. They too will be oral warnings of some sort. A close friend of mine speculates that these reports will be described as something along the lines of dangerous rhetoric. To determine the actual meaning of the Greek word akoas, we must take a closer look at the 4 places where it has been used. First off, both Matthew and Mark use the word in identical verses. Matthew chapter 24, verse 6, and Mark chapter 13, verse 7. The third place we see it is in Luke chapter 7, verse 1. It reads, after Jesus had concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Here the word akoas is translated as hearing. So, are we to assume that Jesus was speaking of rumors when he was delivering his sermon on the plain? Nope, he most surely was not. Was he discussing dangerous rhetoric? Possibly because Jesus did mention 4 curses in his sermon. He doesn't state curses, instead he uses the word woe, which is used to express grief regret, or distress? And was he possibly speaking about how evil will bring about some events which will indeed be shocking, brutal, and perhaps even criminal? Absolutely, yes. In fact, we will discuss this more later, but in the Sermon on the Plain, Jesus was speaking primarily to his 12 disciples. And yes, there is a fourth place this exact word is used. When we look over in Acts chapter 17, verse 20, it reads, "For what you say sounds strange to our ears, and we want to know what these ideas mean." Here, akouos is defined as ears. The words Paul was preaching in Athens sounded strange to the ears of those listening to his reasoning in the synagogue. When you read Acts chapter 17, verse 3, you see the phrase where Paul reasoned with them over the scriptures. And when you look at Acts chapter 17, verse 17, we see the Greek word for reasoning is dialogeto, the root of which is where we get our modern word dialogue. It means speaking to a conclusion or attempting to get across logical analysis. Preaching is a sort of debate where the clergy is attempting to educate the audience. So I ask you, was Paul spreading or discussing rumors while he was preaching in the synagogues? No, of course he wasn't. He was debating the meaning of Scripture, which necessitates its proper interpretation, as this is the only way to arrive at the appropriate conclusion, just as I try and do with each audio sermon. As I've said, biblical interpretation is certainly not the Wild West. As with the Apostle Paul, the proper interpretation of the word of Yahweh requires a lot of digging and explaining to the unfledged masses. Okay, so we've established that these wars are somehow different from ordinary wars, if there is indeed such a thing, based on the use of the word wars as spoken of by Jesus. And we've determined that rather than rumors, the Bible is discussing the strange words being heard, perhaps from the government and media, attempting to rationalize these shocking, brutal, and even criminal wars. There is another avenue we can use to examine this phrase. Open your Bible to Luke chapter 21, verse 9. Rather than using the words rumors of war, as Matthew and Mark did, Luke reports Jesus speaking a different word. In its place, he uses the word commotion, which in the Greek is akatatasias and means disorder, confusion, and tumult. It brings with it the idea of being unable to stand, which is a metaphor for being under intense mental stress, creating the feeling of being unsteady. It gives the idea that people will be experiencing the sensation that things are out of control and that they are in grave danger. The word tumult is defined as disorderly agitation of a crowd resulting in an uproar and confusion. Based on the news people will be hearing, it will literally be blowing their minds. So, what kind of wars and the resulting tumult can Jesus be talking about? What would be the worst kind of war which would be placed in its own category? Which news would be equivalent to having strange things come to our ears which would cause disorder, uproar, and confusion in the minds of the public, as Jesus concluded in his discourse on the Sermon on the Plain? Short of having aliens arrive at the White House, or seeing a huge asteroid suddenly appear in the sky, there aren't too many things left which would create such a ruckus, a commotion, or disturbance. Well, from my point of view, Jesus can only be warning us of just one type of war, and that is nuclear war. Before you are too quick to disagree, remember, there is the second half to Matthew chapter 24, verse 6, which we haven't discussed yet, but it will bring a bunch more light to this topic. The simple fact is that nuclear war hasn't occurred since the establishment of the nation of Israel. Nuclear weapons have been used in war exactly twice, and both instances were prior to 14 May 1948, Israel's Independence Day. And while we live post-World War II under the shadow of a nuclear arms race called the Cold War, there was never any use or blatant discussion of or actual threats made for the use of nuclear weapons. Instead, official public speech was restricted to things like peace through strength or the Strategic Air Command's motto of peace is our profession. Nuclear deterrence was secured via the idea of mutual assured destruction via the triad of nuclear forces. Hey, if you attack us first, we will still be able to respond and obliterate you, thus making nuclear war unwinnable and the use of nuclear weapons irrational. Talks between the U.S. and USSR did result in large reductions in the total number of nuclear weapons. We lived in a time of détente, with a red phone hotline established between the U.S. and the Soviet Union. So, while we lived with the specter of nuclear war, we did not experience it, nor were we directly threatened by it. Lately, we have begun hearing and seeing the emergence of threats to use nuclear weapons by nations which possess them. It was recently mentioned by Russian talking heads after the start of the Russian-Ukraine war, saying that any additional assistance rendered by NATO to Ukraine, which threatens the motherland, will be met with the use of nuclear weapons. North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un, in 2024, threatened to use nuclear weapons on South Korea, calling for the obliteration of the South's capital of Seoul. In the recent Pakistan-India war, nuclear weapons were mentioned as a viable option on both sides while the short-lived hostilities were ongoing. Israel and the United States just bombed Iran's nuclear sites due to Iran threatening to destroy the great Satan, the United States, and the lesser Satan, Israel. These nations clearly saw through the deceit that Iran only wants a nuclear capability for peaceful reasons. These threats are new, and they are real. There is an undeniable belief emerging within the world that the use of nuclear weapons is an acceptable and even palatable option to subdue an enemy. The reason I bring this up is the Bible predicts two things which might happen in the near term. The larger of the two is an event predicted to happen on 6 January 2027. I call this event the second wake-up call. It's where Russia and her allies will attack Israel, but will instead be destroyed on the Megiddo Plain. The description in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 makes it pretty clear that this war will involve the use of nuclear weapons to stop Russia in her tracks and kill 90% of the invading forces. But there is also an embargo of Israel lasting 540 days exactly, which is prophesied to happen prior to this event. So, if my calculations are correct, there will be some event which will lead to Israel being blocked in some manner on or about 16 July 2025. The Bible does not give any other details on this event that I can find. As of this sermon, that date is less than 1 month away. My intent is not to scare anyone. It is simply to show two things. First of all, we are living in the end times. And while we haven't completed our discussion of the prophecies of the fig tree, the fact that they have come to pass and are still happening cannot be denied. We are on the verge of perhaps witnessing the first use of nuclear weapons since August of 1945. And second, the Word of God is real and perfectly accurate in the extreme. Now, while things might seem to be reaching a point of getting out of control, remember, in the words of Jesus, he said, we would be at or near to the point of experiencing or suffering something which would create quite a commotion. he associates the arrival of that with wars which are shocking, brutal, and even criminal. Jesus also says for us to not become overly alarmed, for these are things which must take place. I will continue this discussion in the next sermon. So until next time, my beloved, this has been Pastor Jefferson, speaking in God's holy name and for His glory alone. Amen.